It's time for Breaking Bread with Papa.
Hey!
Don't you know?
Hey!
It's our goal.
Hey!
It's time for Breaking Bread with Papa.
Hey!
Don't you know?
Hey!
It's also a show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Breaking Bread with Tom Papa. I am Tom Papa. Happy, happy, happy holidays. Happy end of the year. We made it. We're here. We've done it. Man, we've done it. We've done so much. We made it through 4th of July. We made it through Halloween, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas. We've got New Year's Eve to knock out. Come on. We can do it. We're so close. Whenever I hear people talk about whether or not we're going to go back to the way things were, I'm almost shocked by the ignorance of that question. I almost think like it's almost somebody just trying to come up with small talk and what ifs and what have yous. Are you insane? Do you think for one moment that we're going to hang in this state when we were all vaccinated up and the virus has become as small as any other virus that's out? Are you drunk? We will be going crazy. We will be eating in restaurants. We will be hugging strangers. We will be at live music events and comedy events. And it is going to be like nothing we've seen before. What do you mean? Are we going to go back? Are we going to have shows again? Are we going to sit and rest? Are we going to fly? Yes. Yes. You nincompoop you. You confused, frightened person hiding under an Afghan in your living room. Depressed. No. We are going to go completely insane. I have been doing my best to celebrate is in any way that I can. We have dressed the house up. We have put the lights around. We have done all the things that make it look a little different. We have had no family, no travel, none of that stuff. And like everything that we've done, you go through it, you do it, and it's not exactly the same, but it's this good Frankenstein version of what you like to do. And that's enough. And you are grateful and thankful and move forward and all that good stuff. But you know in your heart of hearts that if allowed to do otherwise, you will do it. Thank you all for a wonderful year. We started this podcast up halfway through the year, and it has been great. It has been great. It has been fun. And I know that we're going to continue doing this for a long, long time. I like the contact that we've made. Thank you for subscribing. And I thank you for giving your comments and showing up online and sharing all of your dishes and your inspiration and your breads and your things. And this is the whole comedy, food, enjoying your life community that we're building is great. And I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. I am broadcasting to you today from a cold and rainy Los Angeles, California, which is so delightful. It's nice with the sun and all that good stuff, but around the holidays, when you want to cut down the options of what you can do. I was very jealous of all of you back east who had a beautiful snowstorm, and it made me think that maybe I need some younger friends, because there was a lot of friends that I contacted who, when I said, oh, I can't believe it's snowing, you're so lucky. And they said, yeah, what a pain in the ass. Really? Pain in the ass? How old are you? We're going to have a quick bite with Dave Hill today, because he is who I celebrated last New Year's Eve with, and I want to check in with him. He is in Cleveland, where he has been hiding out this entire time, and I want to touch base with him. He was hammered last New Year's Eve in a way that I've not only not seen Dave hammer before, but I've not seen many people hammered that way before. It was so great. But, you know, take Dave Hill and make him sloppy drunk. It's going to be delightful. And he was. Was a little worried that he wouldn't get home, but he made it and he lived. And he will be hopping on the phone with us for a quick bite in a little bit. We have a great bunch of shows coming in the beginning of next year. First of which is Apollonia Polan, who is the heir and owner of the Poulain Bakeries in Paris and London. And they sent me these beautiful breads, and we've already had the conversation. She's a delight. You're going to love her. And we're also going to be talking with Jim Gaffigan and a bunch of other great comedians. And we're going to keep the whole thing of just joy-filled fun coming your way, kids, coming your way. What have I been eating? What have I been eating, you ask? What have I not been eating? I have been on a tear. But I have to say, on a tear with good things is it doesn't do that much damage. The desserts are breaking me. When you brush your teeth at night and then for some reason forget something, walk through the kitchen and eat two more cookies, you know you're in the holidays. And you know you've got to get this stuff out of your house. Right now I am drinking a Black Verve coffee, which is so delicious. It was a pour over dripped while I was creating the elements that are going to go into a Stollen. A Stollen is a German holiday bread started in the 1300s. It is not something that anyone in my family is going to enjoy. I know that already because it's very close to a fruitcake. It is going to have chunks of citrus and raisins and nuts. And I just listed three things that no one in my house enjoys. But I can't use that as the barometer for what I make because I just want to make it. I want to make something that people were making during the holidays in Germany in the 1300s. I mean, those smells, those tastes, those textures that I'm creating now, could you celebrate any better? I mean, look, we're not running around and going to places. So these are the things, these are the little joys that you find. And I am going to make the Stollen. And I have taken the candied citrus, which I did myself. I learned how to take citrus peels and slice them off of the orange and lemons and limes and take off the white rind and boil them down and then end up having them soaked in sugar water for about an hour and then thrown into a plastic Ziploc bag filled with sugar and coated and then sat for 2 days to dry out and then chopped up into small fine pieces. Look, I've had awful fruitcakes before. I know the jokes. The person online who is telling me how to make the Stollen, they are telling me that this is a game changer and that making them yourselves, candying these citrus peels yourself, is going to make all the difference in the world and you're going to enjoy it so much. And I'm going to trust this stranger. And then when the bread is finally done, it is coated with a crazy amount of confectionery sugar. It looks like snow. I mean, you got to think back in the 1300s, what a treat this would be. Imagine you're in Germany and you get oranges and limes and lemons and candied and sugar and throw in some raisins. These are like riches and put them all into one thing. There's a little German boy running it through the fields and coming home and smelling the bread and seeing this white icing over the top of the bread. This is going to be heaven. And like I said, my family will bite it and be like, ugh, not for me, but I don't care. I'm going to make it and enjoy making it. And who knows, maybe I won't even like it. There's rum in it. Right now, all those things are in a bowl being soaked in rum. And then when we're done with this podcast, I will be rolling into the kitchen and getting into the dough portion of it. And I will make Stollen. I also took a run at Carbonara. I had my good friend Mateo Lane on the program, and he not on the program, I just called him. He has been on my shows before. He's wonderful, and he is a great cook, and his favorite dish in the world is Carbonara. And I gave my first attempt at that, and it did not go well. But you have guanciale, which is a richer pancetta. Pancetta is pork. It's like the bacon. The guanciale is actually the pork cheek, and it is it's a little saltier, a little lighter, a little more vibrant. And you use that with egg yolks, and it's kind of like cacio e pepe, in that you are creating this pasta, and then you have creating this little sauce on the side, and the real of it is, if you have the right ingredients, it's going to be the technique and how you're going to spin these together once the pasta's done, so that you actually get a creamy sauce and don't cock it up. So I gave it my best shot and made some mistakes, and then called Mateo and got his advice. So I have a little guanciale left, so I think I'm going to make that as well. On Christmas Eve, I made the Feast of the Seven Fishes, which is an old Italian thing where you make a giant Christmas Eve feast and you include seven different fish dishes. And it's really fun. It's a fun thing to do. And I kind of cheated a little. I have a crab dip that has crab and oyster in it. I'm counting that as two. We had my friend John came over, and he brought it wasn't sea bass, some other kind of fish with the face on it, and those were delicious. And then we had shrimp. I made a calamari salad, which is amazing. You boil down calamari and you chop up celery, including the leaves, oil, vinegar, fresh garlic, parsley, and black olives. Chop, 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 chop. Mix, 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 mix. Easy peasy, delicious dish. I love it. It's been hanging around the house for a long time. And let's count it out. So we had crab, we had oyster, we had shrimp, we had the fish with the face on it, we had calamari, we had, anchovy toast. This was really nice. I got anchovy toast. I found a recipe that called for what? Sourdough bread. Yes, sourdough bread. That's right. That's right, kids. Just happened to have some. So I sliced that up, put some oil on it, toasted it up in the on a baking sheet, brought it out, coated with anchovies, parsley, butter, garlic. Oh, man, oh, man. I could eat that every day. I am anchovy crazy. There's actually some leftover linguine in the fridge, and every time I look at it, I'm like, I should just try and make that anchovy sauce. Again, something my family won't enjoy. The big thing that I made, okay, so that's six. And then the last one, the last fish, was linguine with clam sauce. That's where the leftover linguine came from. Clam sauce, got some small little neck clams. And again, another little sourdough kismet came in. Take garlic, oil, and the sourdough bread without the crust, throw it into a food processor, mush it all up into this bread crummy mixture, put that on the side. No, cook, put that into the Dutch oven, cook it down with some oil, get it crunchy, put that on the side, make your linguine and clam sauce, you boil up the clams in some white wine and some water and salt, have them open up, become nice and healthy and cooked. Then you throw your cooked linguine on top, you mix that all together, and then when you're about to serve it, you take your sourdough garlic oil mixture and sprinkle it on top. Delicioso. I have to say, though, for the amount of people that I made it for, I had to make a big bulk of it. Not that we had a huge party, but we had our two pod families come and sit outside with us. And the quantity kind of swallowed up the breadcrumbs. It's almost the breadcrumbs, like if you were making it at home alone, small, like four people, you put each dish out and then put the breadcrumbs on top so you can appreciate it and get them all in there. These just kind of got devoured and mixed up. The biggest thing I made was the lasagnas, which is a Christmas Eve tradition of mine. And I make a meat lasagna and a veggie lasagna. Both were exceptional. And I think the reason it was exceptional was because this year I made my own sauce. I've been trying to perfect sauces all year, trying to come up with really solid, consistent tomato sauce. And I was like, I'm just going to make a big, giant tub of it. And tub's an awful word. Let's not use tub. Let's say pot. Giant pot of it. And the sauce, I think, made all of the difference. A lasagna, man, that is a lot of work. I started at 9 in the morning, and I was cruising till about 2 in the afternoon assembling these. Delicious, great, but it's a lot of work. And I bring this up not as a negative. I bring this up as a positive and as a little suggestion for you. You're coming into New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. You have this kind of limbo in between where you were all kind of hanging out. I recommend making something big, making something a little bigger than you normally make. Make something a little special, a little something that you don't normally do that will take some time and some extra steps. An eggplant parmesan, perhaps. A chicken parmesan, perhaps. Make your own sauce. Make a lasagna. Get in there. Make some kind of... My nephew made a goose the other night. He's never done that before. Found a goose, hopefully in a supermarket. And spent a little extra time and made that. And that is what you should be doing right now. I highly recommend it. Just have it, not that you're going to rush into the kitchen and bang something out, but that the kitchen will probably be the place where you're going to spend most of your day. That is a good way to celebrate. And it takes your mind off things. It makes you richer in body and soul. And then you get to eat it at the end. And what is wrong with that? I would say nothing. Nothing's wrong with that is my little recommendation for you. I made the meat lasagna in a new way where I actually made meatballs, sausage and chopped beef meatballs, which I've been, like, we've talked about this before. I'm totally into making, just enjoying getting really good at that with the old homemade sauce, and then slice the meatballs and put that in as the lasagna. I got it from, I actually saw it with the sound off, Jon Favreau's Chef Show, which is amazing. You should definitely watch it on Netflix. It's so good. And they were making it that way. I didn't hear any of their ingredients. I just was watching it. It was in the background. Music was on. And the kids were doing their thing. And I just saw him making those. And I was like, ooh, that looks good. Because then I get to make meatballs. It came out perfecto. And the veggie one was great, too. Chopped up peppers, carrots, celery, and spinach. Use that as the filling. And then, of course, the key, finding really good mozzarella and putting the whole thing together. But man, by the end of it, you've used a lot of bowls, a lot of cheese graters, a lot of pots, a lot of pans. It's big. It's big. But man, satisfying. I still have a little left over. I think it might be too late to eat it now, but to just throw it away is kind of weird. I'll probably eat it. I had a joke about that, about how gross we are, that we're really just garbage cans. Have you ever stood in front of the garbage can scraping food into the garbage and taking bites at the same time? It's like you and the garbage can, pretty much the same. Not far off at all. Okay, so we have a great year coming up. I want to thank you all again. I love doing this, and I love hearing from all of you, like I've said before. And I just want to read something. I know Italian food was a big part of our journey so far. We talked with Jonathan Waxman at the Barbudo cookbook from Barbudo fame. And we talked with Donna Leonard from Il Buco and a lot of other great people. And the sauce that I was perfecting was, of course, came from Marcella Hazan, which is the essentials of classic Italian cooking, which is quickly become one of my favorites. And it's getting, this cookbook is getting now a lot of stains on it. It's a little sticky. It has been well used. So I just want to, before we check in with our good friend Dave Hill, I want to quickly read you the end of the introduction of Marcella Hazan's Essentials of Classic Italian Cooking and Why Italian Food is So Great. This is Marcella Hazan. It is not the created, not to speak of creative, cooking of restaurant chefs. It is the cooking that spans remembered history that has evolved during the whole course of transmitted skills and intuitions in homes throughout the Italian peninsula and the islands, in its hamlets, on its farms, in its great cities. It is cooking from the home kitchen. Of course, there have been, and there still are, aristocrats' homes, merchants' homes, peasants' homes. But however disparate the amenities, they have one vital thing in common. Food, whether simple or elaborate, is cooked in the style of the family. There is no such thing as Italian hate cuisine because there are no high or low roads in Italian cooking. All roads lead to the home, to la cucina di casa, the only one that deserves to be called Italian cooking. That is pretty nice. Okay, we're going to check in with our good friend Dave Hill, see what he's been eating, see what he's going to be doing for New Year's Eve without me. And again, do something big. Make something big. And look, I'm going to make the Stollen. You can do quick breads. Go online. Look up something quick bread, a quick gingerbread bread. I saw a chocolate candy cane bread. These are easy because you taste all these ingredients and mush them into one thing, like a banana bread, that kind of thing. But look up online because they're pretty remarkable and easy to make and will fill your house with good smells and a happy holiday. And now let's check in with our good pal, Dave Hill.
Dave?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just went to the grocery store. So I'm out of the grocery store now, and I'm feeling back on top. That's my most stressful thing ever, is going grocery shopping.
Why?
Because I think I've, whatever the most worked up you can be about COVID, that's about where I am. And the bigger, well, because I live with an 80-year-old lady, temporarily. I'm taking care of an 80-year-old lady, so I feel like the stakes... I mean, you know me. I would throw caution to the wind normally.
Yeah, but, I wouldn't see you fearing anything.
No, no. Personally, I fear nothing. But, no, I'm just concerned. So,
right.
But, and also, if this will hit a lot closer to home, they're almost always out of garlic stuffed olives.
Oh, really?
That's really
so you,
the big
So you don't
issue.
Go that often. If you're running out of a jar of garlic stuffed olives... how often do you go to the grocery store?
I go about once a month.
Once a month, yeah. Okay. And they were out?
They were out. I mean, we're in garlic country right now. So I'm guessing, I'm not the only one. Plus, I'll admit that I don't know if I was too inside baseball, Tom, but... You know, you and I are both fans of martinis, and
yes.
because I dumped the liquid, I guess the vinegar or whatever, from the garlic stuffed olive jar, it creates a scenario where there's not enough liquid to submerge the olives.
Uh-huh.
And the last jar that I got, there was a mold issue.
Why are you dumping the liquid?
Because I dump it into my martini.
Oh, because you're dirtying up the martini.
I'm making it dirty. I like
Got it. So did you shift gears and just go with those straight up martini olive?
No, I got a bunch of jalapeno stuffed olives back home, so I'll be fine. It's just not an ideal situation.
No, no, not at all. I still have a couple left of the garlic. I'm not worried though. My supermarket is loaded with them. But last night, I texted you a picture of my Manhattan. Left Martiniville and made a nice little Manhattan. That's a nice little holiday treat. A little Italian vermouth and some whiskey and a little maraschino cherry. Mm.
Oh, yeah. I've been staying away from those for a few years now due to an incident that occurred. But I think I'm ready.
Yeah, I was really, unlike the martini, it was really easy for me to stop at one Manhattan. I was like, I was sitting by the fire. I had it. I was like, you know, okay, I've got the fire of wanting to drink more, but I just downshifted, stayed in my seat, let it pass, and I didn't go on the tear of now I'm going to have six of these.
I know. Well, I've learned that from you, and it's been very helpful. But almost with every form of alcohol, I've at least once veered into, you know, a dangerous 14-year-old at a bar mitzvah or something. And I've just overdone it. You know, I've just gotten too excited, too swept up in the pleasures of whatever the drink is at the moment. And then I have to back off for a few years if I fly too close to the sun. So that's happened with Manhattans, and it's happened with straight up bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I'm just kind of dipping my toes in with both of those.
I always feel like the brown liquors cause a lot of that trouble for me personally.
They hold the most romance, you know?
Yeah, they do. They do.
They just think like, oh, this is it. I've worked for this my whole life. It should be kicking back. I'm a grown man kicking back with some brown liquor.
Yeah, it's been fun. I've been getting really drunk, but I've been definitely on a everyday during the holiday pace, where I wake up and I think, what's it going to be tonight?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I worry about it. Yeah. I'll maybe have one too many, which is not even that many. I've lost my touch. So one too many is like three or four.
Right.
But by 11 o'clock that morning, I'm like, I wonder what I'll get up to tonight. What's going on tonight? I feel fine.
Right.
Which is
exactly.
And I know people will hear that and say, well, David, sounds like you have a problem. But it's really, I don't have a lot going on.
No, none of us do.
So normally, if I'm in my regular life in New York, I'm not thinking about having anything to drink until long after the sun has gone down.
Yeah, no, these are different times. And I have to say, it's been bringing up my memories of us celebrating New Year's Eve together last year.
Oh boy, this does not paint me in a good light. Everything about this conversation really doesn't paint me in a good light.
It does. You're getting things done. I don't see it as a problem. You're just festive and you're a gentleman. But you did show up last New Year's Eve in a state that I had never seen you in before.
I was in such a state. I feared. Until I saw you next after that, I feared I may have damaged our friendship with my level of drunkenness.
No, it was so funny. I was only concerned that you survived the walk home.
And oh, yeah, the two blocks. I barely did.
You were a very relaxed, fun drunk, and you do have the descriptor, whenever I'm like, hey, you know, and Dave, and my daughter will be like, which one's Dave? I'm like, remember New Year's Eve, he he celebrated the ball dropping by taking his pants off. They're like, oh yeah, Dave,
that guy, the fun, you're really fun friend.
So funny. I'm wondering if we're even going to be up at midnight on this New Year's Eve.
You know, I was just thinking about this last night as I trudged to bed last night. Mm-hmm. My last thought was, what year was that when I showed up so drunk at Tom's place for New Year's? And I was like, oh my God, that was last year.
Yeah.
And then I remember talking with you sometime during this plague when we were speculating over whether we would have New Year's together this year. And I sad to say, it looks like it's not happening.
I know. I know. It really, we were all so hopeful and so excited. And this one's going to be, maybe this bodes well for us because the parties, the celebrations rather, will be so subdued. Where last year the parties were big and it ended up for a cruddy year. Maybe the subdued level of the frivolity will make for a better year.
Yes, I concur. I think that's exactly what it's going to be. So I look forward to. I'm definitely gonna. You know, I'll control myself. New Year's Eve next year. I'll be nothing less than a gentleman. I won't upset your children.
I will be. We will be home. I think it might just be the three of us. My other daughter won't be around.
And where I'm will thinking she be at school.
No, they're going. She's going up to Joshua Tree with a couple of her friends who came back from college and already had COVID, so they can hang out.
Oh wow! Okay.
And so I think they're going to go and just have like a nice little overnight, and so we'll be solo. But I will still maybe put on a tie, maybe a jacket, cocktail by the fire, keep it mellow. But I'm definitely going to. I'm going to branch out a little bit and drink something maybe a little special.
Oh, do you have anything in mind?
No, I've been looking at some different cocktail-y things. I have to say, I always get like the idea in my head that I'm going to go for one of those like mulled cider, hot toddy kind of a things with cloves and oranges, and I can never really pull the trigger on it. I'll probably just come back to the martini.
There's a reason for that, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever had one of those drinks? You're at someone's house and they're like, help yourself to some glog or whatever it is.
Right.
And you're like, oh, wow, this is festive. And you're just looking like, where's a flat surface I can set this down and then get myself something else?
Yeah, they don't really do it.
No. Like, oh, wow, this is great. Where's the bathroom?
Yeah, maybe a nice scotch just to top off the night or something like that. But yeah. It's definitely going to be mellow. I truly don't know if I'll be up at midnight.
I wake up and I'm panic at least a couple times in the middle of the night. And then I wake up for good around 6:30 in the morning. Mm. By 9 o'clock anymore, I'm fighting to stay awake.
I know.
Like, I'm wondering when this is over, I'm like, am I going to have to do like 7 p.m. sets? Like, when this is over? Like,
yeah, this is like we're living like in retirement. This is what you would do in a retirement home. That's why those people go to bed so early and have dinners at 5.
I know we mock them, but it makes perfect sense.
I know.
Because there's not everything all makes perfect sense because it's everything we've talked about. It's like you wake up and you're like, well, what is it? You finish coffee and then you're like, well, coffee's done. And I guess I better start drinking, I guess. By like while the sun is still out. And then, yeah, you're having dinner by 4:30.
Right. Well, I will definitely get in touch with you during the evening. We'll raise a glass remotely.
Excellent. I lost track. It's only a few days away. I mean, I realize that's why we're talking about it.
I know.
But I'm like, when is that? Oh,
yeah.
Coming fast and hard.
I know. It'll be here before we know it. All right, Dave. Well, get home safely. Take care of that 80-year-old woman you live with.
Oh, she's going to be excited. I got Nil away first. Things are about to heat up in that house.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, that's the big show. Again, happy, happy holidays. Happy, happy new year. You did it. You got through a whole big slog. You got through a whole big rigmarole, a mess, ups and downs, ins and outs. But you survived, and hopefully you're celebrating in all the best ways with some laughs and with some good food and some good friends. You are my friend, and I thank you for listening. And we will be in touch next week when we start a whole new year of new shows. Wow, that's exciting. You're the best. Take care of yourself. Enjoy your life.